They don't call it the Speedway for nothing. Welcome to the Fast Cars, Fast Girls podcast. You're here with Abby and Molly.
Just a quick disclaimer, the opinions and views you're going to hear in this podcast are those of us. Look, we don't in any way represent the views or opinions of any entity involved in any car, any driver, former or current or future, any teams, any tracks, or their parent companies or subsidiaries. Also, the views and opinions we express are ours and not those of our employers, and that's really important for us to stress because you're going to hear a lot of swearing, you're going to hear a lot of foul opinions, and it's just us.
It's just us, uncensored, so they are solely the opinions of the speaker. At times, we don't even agree with one another, but they do not represent the views of anyone else, and that's what's important. Also, keep in mind that we never let the truth get in the way of a good story. We certainly don't take ourselves that seriously, so you shouldn't either. Let's have a fun ride.
Alrighty. So first up, we're going to be talking about the Grand Prix. It was our very, very first Grand Prix. So.
Very first time to go to the Indy Grand Prix. And we want to apologize because it takes some time to get a podcast approved and get it out there. So this probably won't air in a timely manner. So, but we just went last weekend. So we're gearing up for the Indy 500. First time going to the Grand Prix. Molly and I both like to take the week of the Indy 500 off work so that we can do nothing but track things.
Yep.
And so usually I have to work that weekend, but I lucked out.
You did luck out, and I was there. Let me go ahead and just plug it right now. I was there because I work as a advocate for the donor network, and again, I'm sure they're really going to love me saying that I'm an advocate for them. I work with the organization. They do a big thing in May, the Driven to Save Lives. And so they gave us a garage at the track. So I was there working, and then Abby had the weekend off, and we said, why not?
Why not? Why not? The track's open. We got nothing else to do. So, but we do want to say that if you're not familiar with the Indiana Donor Network, you should get familiar with them. They're a wonderful organization. They help to match people who are in need of organs with people who are organ donors and have passed or who will die soon. And I don't say that lightly. I'm a nurse, a registered nurse, and so I see this all the time. So if anybody has any questions about organ donation, we'd be happy to answer them professionally or personally.
Yeah.
But it's a good organization. You can't take your organs with you when you leave this earth, so you might as well let somebody else get some use out of them. So hashtag donate life.
Hashtag donate life, definitely. So, Abby, what were your thoughts?
All right, so I believe one of the quotes that I had during the Grand Prix was, it looks like goddamn Mario Kart out here. Now, I will say we had excellent seats. We had fantastic seats. We were in the very top row, the Northwest Vista.
Yeah,
the Northwest Vista box or whatever. Deck. There we go. Northwest Vista deck. Sorry. We usually sit in the other part of the track for the 500. So, but yeah, we had great seats. We got to see a lot of really good turns. But they were all over the grass out there. And it just, a couple times, it just really looked like Mario Kart.
It was my first road race, actually, that I've ever seen either on TV or in person. And I just want to point out that I've had many arguments about road races, not with you yet, with my father. I don't think that if it's a road race inside of a track, it's a real road race.
I would agree with that.
Really?
I would call it a course race, but not a road race. I have watched other road races, and in fact, I actually went to the Formula One races that we had in Speedway while we had them. Or as we say, Formula One. But yeah, I do enjoy the road races that are truly on a street course.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed this as well. I mean, as I enjoyed the F1 races that we had at the IMS when we had them.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed it as well. But at the end of the day, I'm a big old speed whore, and I just want to see the cars go fast. So I really, a lot of people think the oval races are boring, but I don't know.
No.
I like them.
I think the ovals have a lot more opportunity to pass.
They do. And I think that's one of the biggest criticisms I've seen from, you know, other people that watch, you know, both the oval and the street courses is that, you know, there's not as much opportunity to pass. And so the rules about blocking and such can get kind of dicey on the road course, which we'll discuss more of that in future podcasts, different rules and things.
Yeah. So let's get through this season first, and then we'll start helping everybody who's here to learn about IndyCar races. Learn about IndyCar races.
Well, here's a funny story about the Grand Prix. So we enjoyed watching the race. And did Will Power win that?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did. What a great name for a race driver, by the way. Like, his parents just had to know he was going to be a race car driver.
One of my favorite drivers.
Oh, Will Power. Yeah. Just fantastic. But so we get up in our seats, and Molly and I don't know any strangers at the track. We like to just meet everybody that we're sitting near and get to know them, because we are just as inappropriate as we're going to be on this podcast, pretty much 24 hours a day, unless we're at work.
Yeah. Sorry, Mom.
Yeah. Hashtag sorry, mom. Mm-hmm. But so we get up under our stands and we're talking to these people and we're telling them, you know, how we like to flip the bird at Marco every time he drives by because we're not big Marco fans. If you are, I mean, good for you. But he's just not our cup of tea. And so anyhow, so we like to meet people. That way they find us adorable and not offensive. And so I start talking about how I was in the band and how I had seats similar this one year because I went to Speedway High School. Molly and I are both from Speedway.
Yeah.
I graduated from Speedway High School and our band marches around the track. We actually start off the pre-race pageant on race day. And because of that, we get tickets to the race. And so I was talking about how these were great race tickets, et cetera, et cetera. And a guy a couple seats down says, oh yeah, I, you know, live just over there. And I'm like, okay, whatever. And he did not look familiar to me at all. Let me stress that. And so then he says, I start talking about the band and he says, what year you went to Speedway? And I said, yeah, he said, I did too. And I was like, oh, okay. He's like, what year did you graduate? And I said, 2003. He says, what was your name? I said, Abby Meyer. And he said, oh, we used to date. And I thought he was making a joke. And I was about to come back and say, oh yeah, you owe me some child support. But then he said, I'm Craig, and I won't use his last name. And I realized that he was, in fact, being serious. And it was somebody that I had dated and haven't spoken to since high school. In fact, for those of you younger millennials out there, when we dated, it was so long ago that he didn't have a cell phone. He had a pager. He had a pager, okay? I don't even know if millennials know how to page somebody.
I don't think they know what a pager is.
No.
No.
No, probably not. So, anyhow, you know, asked him, I said, I heard you got married, have some kids, blah, blah, blah. Asked him about his life, you know, and what he's been doing and, you know, what he's doing for a job and this and that and make conversation. And I swear to God, he doesn't ask a single question about me.
No.
Not one.
No.
So, I mean, I'm not saying that I really cared about his life. I'm just saying I at least pretended to, like a decent human being, but whatever.
That's how we do at the track.
That's how we do.
You gotta make
so
friends.
So it was quite the fun little surprise for me.
That was a, whew. I'm just excited the guy next to us had some beer that I enjoy, which I don't know if I'm allowed to say the brand name, but
I think we are.
It was Yingling, and he had some, and I had a couple of Yinglings because that's...
we love us some Yingling.
That's my beer.
We're so excited. Woo! That we can finally buy in Indiana. Love the Yingling. Mm-hmm. All right, so Grand Prix was a good time.
Except the walk.
Oh, the walk, yeah. Well, because I live... my mom's house, where we always walk from, is closest to turn one, so... Huff it all the way up to
turn four.
Yeah, we were in turn four. So not the farthest we could go, but close. It was
rough. But big shout out to, I can't remember her name, but that cute little intern who gave us a ride back on her golf cart. Shout out to the intern program at IMS for that one.
Shout out to the intern program for sure. She was wonderful. She gave us a nice little ride back. So I don't know if that's because we looked like we needed assistance or just because she was bored, but either way, we really appreciated it.
Well, we were wearing checkers.
We were wearing all checkers. We roll out hard for the races.
Oh, hard.
We have
for the
matching
races.
Checkered dresses.
It was a sight to be seen.
So you can see some of our pictures on our Instagram, by mm-hmm. the way, which is at Fast Cars Fast Girls.
Yep, Instagram.
And on Twitter. Twitter's different.
Yes, you know, that's social media.
I know, yeah. Twitter, we had too many characters. So Twitter, it's at Fast Cars in 317.
And that's N as in IN.
Yes, not just the letter N, because we can't handle grammatical stuff like that.
We are professionals.
Yeah, it would drive sometimes. Us insane. So Fast Cars in 317 for Twitter, Fast Cars, Fast Girls for Instagram.
Hit us up, by the way.
Hit us up, follow us, spread the word. And anything that you'd like to hear us talk about or anything that you do like or don't like, please let us know. Your criticism is not going to hurt our feelings. I can guarantee that.
Nope.
Molly's an attorney. I'm a nurse. So I'm sure we have had other people say much worse things to us than you ever could. So please let us know what you do and don't like.
Yep.
All right, let's see. So we did the Grand Prix, and then we went to the track on Fast Friday, which if you've never been on Fast Friday, it's a great time to go. It's basically the last practice before qualifications, and so the cars are trimmed out a little bit differently because you cannot maintain a qualifying speed during the race because there's other cars on the track. No. You don't have clean air, which we'll get into all these terms later on. If you have questions, you can just message us, and we will be happy to respond. But anyhow, so they trim out the cars a little bit differently because they are just going for flat-out speed. They want to start the highest up in the field that they can. And so we always like to go to Fast Friday because it's kind of their last chance to tinker around and make adjustments. And for anybody who didn't know, this May we have 500 Fashion Fridays. Hashtag 500 Fashion Fridays.
Yes.
Encouraging everybody in Indianapolis and Speedway to wear their black and white checkers, wear their race gear. And there's a contest every Friday. If you post it on social media with that hashtag, you could win all kinds of fun prizes. Tickets to races, tickets to qualifications, tickets to carb day.
Yeah, all sorts of stuff. They're Instagramming it. I think Facebook, probably on the IMS Facebook page, Twitter. They had people out in the streets because my poor office was pretty much sick and tired of me yelling at them to do this. So we ended up with all of our office doing it one day.
Wow, you just sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. We're drinking.
Right open.
Sorry. Sorry, not sorry.
No, not really. And I think that one's on my personal Instagram page, but I might post it on our.
I think we should.
I think we should. But I had our whole office do it. We went downtown. They had a nice setup on Georgia Street. So I'm excited as a downtown worker that it is pulling in more excitement for the race. I think downtown workers really should get more involved than they are. And I'm excited this year that they're doing all of the like the art and the hashtag 500 Fashion Fridays.
Fantastic. I agree. And I think that they've started a wonderful thing that I hope continues year after year. Mm-hmm. And when you're in downtown Indy, if you're dressed in racing gear, you actually get discounts at certain restaurants. And if you visit the 500 Fashion Friday page on the IMS website, it'll give a list of restaurants in downtown Indianapolis and in Speedway. Yep. We are our own separate town. We are surrounded by Indianapolis, and we love Indianapolis, but we are our own separate entity.
Yep.
So I encourage everybody, if you haven't done it yet this year, that's okay. We got next year, 500 Fashion Fridays. So we went to Fast Friday, and we were all decked out.
So decked out.
And as a matter of fact, we met Beth Bowles.
Might have been the highlight of perhaps my life so far.
I think so.
Yeah, my life so far.
It was, that was pretty awesome. She stops us. She's on a golf cart. For those who don't know, Beth Bowles is the wife of Doug Bowles, who is the president of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Hashtag the greatest man ever.
Yes. Greatest of all time.
Yeah.
Doug Bowles is the GOAT, and Beth Bowles is the wonderful woman behind him. And actually, she's not even just behind him. She actually has had a hospitality contract with the track for, what'd she say, 20 or 30 years?
Quite a long time.
A long time. I'm not exactly sure the facts on that.
No.
Drinking had been involved when we met her, and drinking has happened since. Yeah. So, but anyhow, she's all class, and she is just sweet as can be, mm-hmm. wonderful, has been around the track and racing for a long time. As most of you probably know, her son is Connor Daly, who is a race car driver. His dad was also a race car driver, although he did Formula One.
I probably should have Googled Derek Daly.
Pretty sure he did Formula One.
But he now does, and I'm going to say it wrong, so, you know, if he's listening, which he's not, you know, he can correct us on Twitter. It's cool, Derek. He does the commentary, I think, for Wish TV.
Oh.
Only because Chick Hilliker, big fan of Derek Daly.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Oh, yeah.
Did not know that. Well, excellent. So we met Beth Bowles, and she complimented our outfits. And I will say, it was a little bit rainy from time to time on Fast Friday, and no true track outfit is complete without a checkered umbrella,
yep.
which Molly and I both have. That was a little Christmas present to both of us.
And it really just completed the outfits, I think.
It really did. And not only do they protect against rain, they actually protect against sun. They are UV proof as well, which I've actually said I think it's my favorite purchase this year.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
Yeah, and it makes it easy to find at a crowd. So, although now everybody's going to have checkered umbrellas and nobody's going to be able to fucking find me.
Shit.
No, you know what? I'm not even going to say where I got it. No. I'm not even going to tell you people because, no. I use those umbrellas on carb day so that we can all find each other. So, yeah, don't get checkered umbrellas, people.
No,
don't.
Wait a minute. No.
Don't do it.
No.
Don't do it. So we met Beth Bowles. She asked if we had taken a picture for the 500 Fashion Fridays. We said, obviously. And so anyhow, she said that she would be looking out for our... for our picture. So
fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
Say it's Monday after quals right now, so we will keep our fingers crossed that we hear something about
exciting.
That. So it'd be very exciting. Although we have tickets to everything. Well, we got bronze badges. So
first year for that too.
Yeah. I've done it before.
Did you? Okay.
Of course I've got a bronze badge before.
All right.
I know.
It was
Molly's first year for a bronze badge, though.
My first year for a bronze badge, definitely going to do it next year.
Oh, it's totally worth it. If you go to the track most of the days that it's open, I mean, it just pays for itself.
It does.
You start breaking it down. Because these qualifications days, $20. Yeah. So that's $40 right there. Fast Friday is another $15 to get in.
Yeah.
So that's $55. Carb day is $30. So that's $85. And then each practice, Saturday, I think, is $5 or $10. they changed the prices. But anyhow.
If
you just, you go a couple more days other than those main days, and the badge basically pays for itself. Plus, you get an awesome badge that you get to keep forever.
It's really pretty.
It is pretty. It was wonderful. So, get yourselves a bronze badge next year. And also, you get garage access with the bronze badge. That's another thing that you really can't put a price on. And you also feel like a badass when you're walking through the line. And the people are like, ticket. And you just hold up and you... Because we put it on our lanyard, so we just say bronze badge. And they're like, oh, okay. Come on in. They just wave you and you feel like a VIP. So... It's worth it.
It is. So
sprinkle a little bit. So they pulled the cars off the track because the tires have no tread, so they can't handle the least bit of moisture. So they pulled the cars off. But you know, we're in our seats. We're set up.
We got our
cockpit set up. You know, we got drinks. We got our spotter's guide.
We're ready to go.
Yeah. And
then it starts to really pour. Let me back up. It starts to thunder. Yeah. I'm okay with rain. Like if it was just straight rain, whatever.
We've got the umbrellas.
I'll hang out.
Yeah.
But it did start to thunder a little bit off in the distance, and I'm like, all right, we're sitting on metal bleachers.
On metal bleachers, we're pretty much sitting on a giant lightning magnet.
Yeah, we should go. So we start packing up. I turn to look at my father, who looks back at me and goes, I'm not moving. Arms crossed. He's not moving.
And no one's going to tell him when to move.
Until the yellow shirts started to walk around.
Yeah, the yellow shirts really did come around, and they were like, okay, we are evacuating the bleachers. It is mandatory. He sat there for a minute, and Molly and I have both gathered up our things by this point, and we're, like, standing on the stairs getting ready to walk down, and we're like, are you coming? And he's like, nope. And then we see the yellow shirts, and we're like, seriously? Are you really going to be that guy right now? And he's like...
just full of piss at that moment.
Just
God, love the man.
But piss and vinegar.
He did get up, moved. He got himself a hot dog. He felt better after that.
He did. I think he was just a little hangry.
He got some food in him. It's cool.
He was a little hangry, but...
Yeah, so no. we left him under the bleachers, and that's when we got the... I want to say this was even a better purchase than the bronze badge.
It's You know what? I'm going to say it is because the bronze badge is good for 1 year, whereas these are good
for
years and years to come. We purchased... a set of headphones by Race Electronics. They are not sponsoring us, although if they wanted to, that'd be great.
Hello.
We would both love to work less. We both have real jobs, and I don't say that to discount anybody who does a podcast as their primary job. I don't mean to say that it's not a real job. It absolutely is, and it's hard work. And I respect the heck out of anybody that can make a living at that. In fact, I'd like to be able to work less as a nurse so that I can do more of this, because this is super fun. Not that I don't love my job as a nurse, because I do, but before anybody jumps on me and says that podcasting isn't a real job, it absolutely is, and I understand that, but this is just for funsies for us. We're not making any money at it, so any plugs that we give to any products are really because we believe in them and not because somebody's paying us to say so. Yet. We say that now, but that doesn't mean that I won't lie for the right amount of money, okay? I'll say I love anything, except Miller Lite.
No.
I won't say I like that.
No.
I will. I just... Ugh.
Which is why I get really sad at the track, because that's all I deserve.
Do you know why piss is better than Miller Lite?
Why?
Because piss is sterile.
Jesus Christ.
Otherwise, it's almost an identical compound, and that's just chemistry.
Sorry, I just fucking hate Miller Lite.
That's just chemistry. So
anyway.
I have a science degree. I know things like this. So,
I got nothing.
But anyhow, so Race Electronics. So we walk down there. Molly's still composing herself. We get ourselves a headset. And we got a great package. It came with two headsets. Came with a splitter already. And which is great because Molly and I sit next to each other at every event we go to anyway. So
yeah.
But we're certainly not sharing a headset. We don't share.
Well, and we both needed to hear it at the same time.
Yeah, we needed our own. We didn't want to take turns.
Looking back at that. At the last weekend, we needed to.
It was the best decision. And so it actually will scan and automatically uploads all the channels of all of the race teams at whatever track you're at.
Yeah.
And so you don't have to go in and put the numbers in or put the stations in or any of that. It automatically downloads them once you enter a new track. So we could take these to any track in the United States and they would work just as well. So I recommend renting some if you haven't. If you're thinking about buying them, you'll fall in love and you'll be sad that you didn't just go ahead and buy them.
I mean, we've only had them now for one weekend and it's just been a quals weekend, but I will go on record with saying game changer.
Game changer.
It just adds another level to what's going on in the track. Before, like, you see it, you see the cars moving, you see the teams doing something, you know shit's going on, but with those headsets on, you can hear what's going on behind the scenes.
Absolutely. You don't have to wait for, Dave Calabro to come over and tell you what's happening, although we do love Dave and he does a great job of announcing. He does a wonderful job, as is Tom Carnegie. They both do a wonderful job of announcing, but that's kind of, you're hearing it third hand. Whereas with these, you're hearing the communication between the drivers and their teams in real time.
I mean,
it was awesome. Some of our good quotes from Fast Friday, and this is where we really developed a deep, deep love for Hinchcliffe.
Yeah, I mean, I was a fan after the crash. He came back, won the pole the year afterward. I'm like, yep, good on
you. I mean, and that crash was intense.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can look up his accident. He had a part of the car that went through both of his legs. It pierced an artery.
Jesus Christ, shit went down.
It was very scary, and he was actually in critical condition. And barely survived that crash and came back stronger than ever and won the pole the next year. So, I mean, so we already like Hinch as a driver, but now we love him as a person. On Fast Friday, we got to hear a couple good quotes, one of which was he's coming around and he's doing a couple of his laps, and we hear him say to his pit boss, tell Spotter turn four, he needs to get his shit together. And then we hear another spotter, copy that, on my way.
Yep.
Or not another spotter, because I guess they have to stay in their spot, but somebody else who had a radio, because they all can hear, but not every member of the team has the ability to talk to the driver, which is probably a good thing.
Yeah.
You don't want too many cooks in the kitchen.
No.
But that made us chuckle, because that's some shit that we say at work. Tell them to get, they need to get their shit together.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the day, what was, our favorite one that he said.
I don't think he did that. He must have had some shitty laps.
It was after the issue with a spotter, and it was near the end of the day, they were running out of time. And
wasn't doing that well.
Wasn't doing as well as he wanted to do.
Yeah, probably not doing as well as he wanted to do, and God love the man, he came on the radio and said, we need to talk about our fucking program.
And the pit boss said, yeah, we'll talk about it later.
And he goes, we're going to talk about it now. And then there's fucking radio silence.
Dead silence.
Dead silence.
And we were like, all right, Hinchcliffe is our kind of driver.
This is our driver.
Right. We need to talk about our fucking program.
I feel like that's us if we were drivers.
Yes.
Like,
I agree.
We'd be cited by race control for too many swearings.
I don't know that that's a thing.
I hope it's not.
I don't think that it is. I mean, if it was, then how could any Australian team ever race? Okay, and let me say this is another thing that I've learned from listening to the radios. I have long loved Australians. When I was 19, I did an internship in Brooklyn, New York, and I lived with 37 other interns from 29 different countries, and we had a couple of Australian people there, and then on the staff, they were from all over the world, and so that was my first introduction to knowing an Australian personally, and I've always really liked them, but what I like the most about them is that I think they actually cuss more than I do. I mean, maybe just as much, but...
that's possible.
But, yeah, they, there you go.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we, there's no way that they could cite for foul language on the radio.
I mean, not that we could ever be drivers. Let's go ahead and throw that out.
No, we couldn't.
I feel like that's going to be a reoccurring thing that you're going to hear from us is reasons why we can't be drivers. I kind of feel like the swearing might actually be a knock against us as drivers.
Well.
Because if I'm going to have a bad lap and I'm just yelling out fuck at people, like, that's not helpful for my team. Like, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. What the fuck just happened? Not helpful for my team.
No.
Also, sorry, Mom.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I definitely can see myself saying when you talk about our fucking program or that was fucking bullshit. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely.
But so, yeah. So, Fast Friday, we had some good comedic moments, some gems, and then qualifications.
First of all, the fucking rain delay on
Saturday. Oh, the fucking rain delay. That killed a lot of people.
Not us.
Not us.
Nope.
But we went with a big group. We usually have one day of quals where a big group joins us. We always go both days.
Yeah.
But there's usually one day that we have a big group because not everybody can hang hard for three straight days like we can. Especially not two weekends in a row.
No. God.
And my niece, it was her first time to the track, and she thought that her first day of the track was going to be on Carb Day or on Legends Day. And I said, I don't think that's a good idea. Ooh. And she said, why not? I said, well, you've never been to the track, so you don't really understand what it means to be drunk at the track. And she's, she just finished her.
Shout out Big Ten. Shout out Hoosiers.
Yes. Hoosier Nation, Hoosier Daddy. But there's a big difference between drinking at a college party and drinking at the track. And anybody who has gone to a party school and has partied at the track knows this to be true.
Yes.
So we talked her into coming out with us on the Saturday of qualifications. We had a whole group of people. And during that rain delay, we were posted up underneath the East Stand bleachers. Playing cards, dice games, drinking games, what have you, just to entertain ourselves for a couple hours. And, you know, when you sit down and you play drinking games, when you're going to be drinking all day long, not everybody can hang.
Not everybody can last.
My sister didn't last. She left early. Per use.
To be fair, and I say this in love, she always leaves early.
And it's not her fault. It's Fireball's fault.
Let's blame Fireball.
I mean, that's the problem. I guess it's her fault because she continues to do shots of Fireball, knowing this about herself. And that's not a knock against Fireball. I love Fireball. I take it to the track every time I go. No. Fireball, you're welcome to sponsor us as well.
Yeah.
That sound you're hearing in the background is one of Molly's cats.
We are not a very sophisticated setup. We are literally on my kitchen table, and my boy cat has decided to...
But now's the time that he wants to learn how to wash dishes, apparently.
Knock shit over. Of course, of course.
Hashtag fucking cats.
Fucking cats.
Cat logic.
Yep.
Well, I'm glad she came out the first time. The next day, she said that she didn't lose anything at the track except her dignity, which I said, you know, that's a pretty good quote. And I said that the good thing about the track is... if you lose your dignity the first time you go, then you never have to look for it again. So, and I said to her that it was important that you came out with us, that you came out with friends and family the first time so that you know how to get back to the house drunk. Because finding your way to a house sober and finding your way to a house drunk, two very different things. I'm actually famous for saying on carb days, when people say they're going to go to the restroom, depending on how big the crowd is, because we've had crowds at carb day concerts of 150,000 people, like for ZZ Top.
Yeah.
And so when people say, oh, you know, where I'm gonna go to the bathroom, I'll be right back. Well, I don't know how the hell you think you're going to find us in this crowd. And so I make sure people take their phone and their money, and I give them a hug, and I say, I love you, and I'll see you at the house.
You said that to me, that was when it was, who the fuck was that? Cheap Trick.
No, it was 38 Special OAR Jane's Addiction.
Mm-hmm. Like I was going off to war. Guys, she's dead serious. I love you, and I'll see you back at the house. Bathroom was maybe 15 feet away.
Well, to be fair,
it wasn't the crowd. That one was definitely not the crowd we had for, like, Journey.
No. So. No, it was a smaller crowd. It was definitely a smaller crowd. And the stage was in a different location as well.
Yeah.
And so, but there's certain years of the crowd you just can't find people. Mm-hmm. So the rain delay, a lot of people were shit-faced drunk by the time qualifications actually started.
And it was an abbreviated qualifications.
It was, because typically they have the opportunity to qualify more than once if there's time, but everybody's only guaranteed the one, I mean, everybody is always only guaranteed the one time, but normally you have a full day. Yeah. And so it was very fast. And Sebastian Bourdais, had an epic crash into the wall.
Was that Saturday or Sunday?
That was Saturday.
Was that? Jeez.
It was.
The days have become one in my
mind. I know. It's kind of like a whole weekend together.
That's true.
And so, yeah, he had a pretty horrific crash into the wall. Thankfully, he is recovering well. We saw him being taken out by ambulance, which means that he was not life or death, which is a good thing.
Always a good sign.
So the difference, you can either be taken out by helicopter or by ambulance when you go. And you go downtown to IU Methodist Hospital, mm-hmm. IU Health Methodist Hospital, which I will say is one of our two level one trauma centers here in Indianapolis.
This is a nurse moment for the podcast.
But the IU health system handles everything from the track. So any drivers that get injured, they go downtown to Methodist Hospital, which even before they were part of IU Health and they were part of Clarion, and even before that, when they were just Methodist Hospital, they handled all the drivers that came from the track. They are the best at what they do. They handle traumas like nobody else. And that's not to discount Eskenazi. They do a wonderful job at everything that they handle as well. They're also a level one. And the two of them oftentimes have to kind of bounce back and forth if there's any kind of major incident in the city on who's, you know, ER can take how much of what. But I just want to give a big plug to Methodist Hospital, all the ER and trauma nurses and doctors there.
Yeah, maybe not the doctors.
Well, I mean, the doctors do some of the work. They do a little bit of the work.
I mean, we're definitely a pro-nurse podcast.
Though, that's for sure. So Bourdais, unfortunately, is out for this year's Indy 500.
Because we were glasses twins.
You were glasses twins.
I'm sad. He was my glasses twin.
I know. Molly and Sebastian Bourdais have the same glasses, so we were really hoping that we were going to be able to find him and take a picture of them together with their matching glasses.
Did not work.
Did not work. But I'll tell you what, he was pushing it hard.
He was
so fast on Fast Friday as well, and he was so fast. His average was over 232.
Yep.
When he hit the wall. In fact, I think the speed, because when they give you that speed, that's the average of that lap.
Yeah.
When you qualify, you do four laps, and they give you the speed for each lap, and then they average those four laps together, and then that's your qualifying speed. They take the average of those four. But if your average is 232, then that means at points during that lap, you were higher and lower than 232. And so I actually found out from someone that... Actually, I won't say how they're related to the team because that, you know, they're a professional as well. But anyhow, but I did find out from somebody who is behind the scenes with the team that he was actually going 236 miles per hour when he hit the wall.
So we will drop a little bit of knowledge right now. 235 is the magic number. 235, you could be airborne.
That's how fast the plane has to be before it takes flight. So we're talking about a race car that's going 236. So you were just riding that line of Hot, nasty speed. And taking flight. Yeah. And race cars are not meant to fly.
They really aren't.
They aren't. There's a lot of engineering to get the downforce so that they stay on the track. And a lot of things go into that. And air temperature, tire temperature, track temperature.
Yep.
A lot of math.
We'll cover it later, but a lot of shit involved.
A lot of strategery. Lots and lots of strategery. So Bourdais was killing it. And it was right out of turn two, which there was a lot of wind.
Yeah.
All during the entire month of May. I actually wonder if they took out some trees or something in the golf course, because turn two fucked people up a lot more this year than
Turn two usually doesn't fuck people up.
No, it's usually turn one. I mean, it can, but it's not. I mean, but everybody was getting fucked up in turn two. Everybody was getting loose in turn two. Yeah. I'm surprised we didn't have more accidents than we did have.
In fact, as we kept hearing over our radios, great purchase again, is that, almost every other driver was like, shit's going down in turn two, wind's coming in, crosswind.
Watch the curve. Every spotter was telling everybody, and I will say one of the nice things about hearing the radios is that we can also hear, I mean, obviously there are drivers who don't like each other and whatever, but for the most part, you know, nobody really wants to see somebody else crash into the wall. And so, you know, everybody can hear everybody else's radios should they desire. And so, you know, the spotters... You know, like, you'll hear multiple spotters for teams say the same thing. So it seems to me like they're sharing helpful information, like, hey,
this turn's going to fuck you up.
This turn's going to wreck your shit.
Yep.
So,
I mean, that's what we would have been saying if we were on the team.
Definitely. But we wish Bourdais a fast and speedy recovery and hope that he can come back. We know he broke his pelvis in multiple places.
He was shattered.
I don't think it was shattered, but it was broken in multiple places. I actually, initially, from the way they described the incident, because they said he broke his hip, which, just for you non-medical people, the hip is not a bone that you can break. It's a joint. And so I thought, because of how they had said that he might have broken the head off of his femur. Because typically when people break their hip, when they say that, that's what has happened.
Yeah.
But he did not, in fact. What happened is that when he hit, his leg got pushed up. His right leg got pushed up further inside of him. The head of the ball of like his femur did not actually break off, but it did smash into his pelvis and broke it in lots of places. So I think he's got 8 screws or something like that.
I don't know.
Yeah, something. But he was up and walking on Sunday. So
that's excellent.
Yes.
If they can get
up and walking
moving
the next day, which is what we like our ortho patients to do. So
there you go.
Yeah.
Who said you can't learn something from our podcast?
Right? There you go.
The hip, not a bone. Ta-da! Knowledge.
Knowledge. The more you learn.
The more, yes.
The more you know. That's what it is.
Is it the more you know?
Yeah, the more you know. Yeah, whatever. Okay, so...
I will say, next year, if, you know, we're still here next year, and we have people actually listening to this next year...
Yep.
...who aren't my mom, and maybe my dad.
Yeah, if we have more than, you know, 5 listeners.
Which is great. We sit up in turn one, stand E.
Yes.
All the way up. I mean, y'all come and find us.
Come find us. Come sit with us.
We're hilarious.
We are hilarious. In fact, I wish that we could record ourselves at the track in real time, because we are hysterical. The people who sit around us by accident enjoy us every year. So
yeah, we usually get a couple of beers out of it.
We do. Maybe a couple shots, Jello shots, make some new friends.
Yeah.
We had multiple people this year tell us that they took pictures of us this year during qualifications. After quals were over, they told us that they had enjoyed us so much that they were taking pictures and videos to send to their friends and family.
Did we
so
ever?
We never. No. We actually asked everybody to email or text us those pictures, but we did not get all of them.
So
which
there's
is
photos of me out on the internet.
Yes.
Right now.
Yes, there
saying
are. There are.
Awesome. This is awesome for my job.
Do you want me to describe what you did or just let it lie?
I mean, I don't care. Look, apparently, I thought, let me back up and say, I thought that somehow there was a family vendetta against the Andretti family.
Yes.
So I thought my dad, every time we say the Andretti name, he fake spits, like, and he just spits.
Andretti.
And I thought it was because his father, who used to go to the race and would take my father to the race, hated Mario. So while there was a generational thing, granddad, who I never met, hated Mario. My dad hated Michael. Me being a Hilliker, fuck it. I hate Marco.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have a family vendetta against him. I just hate Marco because he seems like...
I don't want to use hate. I feel like hate's strong.
Hate is a very strong
he
word.
He is not my driver. And that's
no,
why.
And that's okay. I mean, I think in racing, just like in any sport, there's yes a team that you just don't like.
Yep.
And whether it's based on good reasons or not, for some reason, you either race to not like them or you just don't like them. Like, the whole city of Minneapolis hates the Patriots.
Yep.
And I'll say hate. But it's not like we wouldn't actually want to go out and kill the Patriots.
No.
But we can say we hate them. And we don't mean it, like, you know, in the way that she would typically use the word hate.
Right.
But we just really don't like them. And so
I don't want them to win.
Yeah.
But I also don't want them to get in a horrific crash because that's just...
No,
that's
definitely
just
not.
That's mean-spirited.
That is mean-spirited. I don't wish any of the drivers to get in a horrific crash. But I don't like Marco because he...
He
seems like he's got a big chip on his shoulder, he seems like he's too big for his britches. He acts kind of like a little bitch from time to time, in my opinion. And finally, I don't think he really wants to be a race car driver. I've actually been working under this theory for the last 3 years, that I'm pretty positive he wanted to do anything other than racing, but couldn't break the news to his dad and his grandpa.
I mean, you can in that family.
Yeah, I mean, you just imagine being an Andretti and saying, I don't want to drive.
I don't want to be a driver.
Yeah, so I created a meme of Marco that says, what is it? I hate this fucking sport.
I
wanted to be a nurse.
Which I had up in my office for a good 9 months last year.
Yeah, I think so. In fact, we'll upload that to our Instagram
and
our Twitter
have
as well. It's a hilarious meme. We love to make memes of the drivers. Mm. In fact, our first meeting of Willpower, we were walking through pit lane, and we had gotten pit passes from someone, and so we're going through pit lane, and the person in front of us sees Willpower, and so they only said the full name for our benefit, and they just said real nonchalant,
Hey,
Willpower.
With the bro head, which you can't see, it's a podcast, but there was the bro head nod.
The bro head nod. And Willpower returned the bro head nod and said, hey, what's up? And went on about his way in his Australian accent, which I will not attempt to imitate because I cannot do it.
And our friend kept walking, and I think you and I just stood there for 20 minutes, like,
what just happened?
Huh?
So we get a little starstruck sometimes around the drivers. In fact, we screamed when we met Beth Bowles, and she's not even a driver.
She's not, but to be fair,
she's pretty awesome. She's
like,
pretty awesome, pretty important.
She's a badass. Beth, not that you're listening, but I mean,
but
hit
if
us
you,
up.
If you did, yeah, hit us up. We'd love to have you on the podcast, because again, we want to focus and feature women in and around racing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we love the men in racing, obviously, but we are women who just love the sport, and we think that it's misunderstood by other females.
I think it is, too. Yeah.
I think that that a lot of females just, you know, kind of put it in this group of things that they don't think that they would like. And I think that if you gave it a chance, you really would. So any woman that's involved in this sport, we would love to have you on our show. Love to hear from you. Okay, so to get back to quals.
I think Saturday's covered. Yeah, I'm doing my math.
Yeah, because Bourdais out, but they replaced him.
They switched him in with Jack Harvey, I think.
Was it Jack Harvey or
was
it Davison?
I don't know. You know,
I'm going to look that up.
All right, as you're looking it up. So it's Sunday. Fast 9 shootout, which is one of the greatest, greatest moments in racing, in my mind. So these are the fastest 9 people from Saturday.
Yes, which it's a newer program that the track has done, because it used to, in the 90s, we actually had 2 weekends of qualifications, and it would start with pole day, and on the first Saturday, and then the next Sunday and the next Saturday would be qualifying and filling the spots, and then the last Sunday would be bump day, and that was because it was the you could bump people out of the field. But the first like 11 or 22 spots were set in stone, and so if you were in the last 11 spots of the field, you could be bumped out, and so that was called being on the bubble. Which, fun fact, we take a drink every time Dave Calabro says on the bubble, and we're kind of convinced that he knows we play this game.
I feel like he knows it now.
Yeah, kind of like in When I Met Your Mother, when Robin Scherbowski finds out that they're playing this a drinking game every time she says but and then she abuses it. We think Dave knows.
I think Dave knows.
Because he abuses the phrase on the bubble. So anyhow, Sunday was the back half of the field qualifying, yeah. And then it ends with the Fast 9 shootout. And they did that because people were just coming to pole day just to see the fastest, and then they weren't coming on Sunday. So they did this just to, you know,
keep people coming,
gain some excitement about both days. I always went both days because I like fast cars.
Can't beat that sound.
You can't beat that sound.
Can't beat that sound.
You just cannot. Mm-hmm. So anyhow, I did look it up. It is James Davison who replaced Sebastian Bourdais.
Damn,
yep.
Wrong.
Yep, James Davison, who is an Australian. We look forward to hearing him on the radio communications. I'll tell you that.
Yep.
So anyhow, we ended out with a good Fast 9.
Which, let's see, they were pulling fast speeds all day mm-hmm. for that Fast 9. They were.
I should have had it in front of me.
That's okay.
I mean, everybody was over 231.
Yeah.
Everybody was over 231. It was super fast. And who ended up in our front lineup?
It was Dixon, Carpenter, Rossi.
Rossi. Okay, so Rossi...
Who won last year
as a rookie,
yeah.
And won on a hope and a prayer, ran out of gas between turns 3 and 4 and coasted across the start-finish line.
Look, people can hate on that all they want, but that's straight fucking strategery.
That is strategery right there.
That's a win.
That is a win.
That's a win. That's playing
And it's not a Dario Franchitti win. It's not a win on a yellow. It's a win on a green.
It is a win on a green.
Yeah, I'm calling it out.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I did. He's the only three-time Indy 500 winner who's won on a yellow every fucking time. It's one of the few times that makes me wish IndyCar was more like NASCAR, just so that we could end on a green. I would never say that about any other thing.
That's
okay?
True. No, I know. I'm with you on that.
You know. Sorry to. If you like NASCAR as well, then good for you.
All right, cool. But
that's awesome for you. But here in Indianapolis, we call those taxis.
Yeah, or my Honda that's sitting in the garage.
Yeah,
whatever. It's cool.
Yeah. But yeah.
Rossi had the top, then Carpenter
came in. And Rossi broke a qualifying record that had been held for 21 years. Nobody has broken Ari Leindijk's record,
woo!
By the way. That has been held, and I don't think anybody ever will because they build the cars differently,
yeah.
So that they're safer. But he still holds the all-time track record for 4 laps and for 1 lap at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Yeah.
So way to go, Ari. We always love to see fast speeds. So,
yeah.
So after that, the next closest record, Rossi broke that. And then right up, and they were just screaming. They were nuts. They're coming over the radio telling them, you just broke a 21-year-old record for qualifications, blah, blah, blah. Everybody's giddy. Ed Carpenter gets out there and says, not today.
Not today.
And I would add a swear word on that, but Ed Carpenter doesn't swear at all. He's an Indianapolis native. He's a family man. His kids were at the track. They're adorable, by the way. I think everybody in Indianapolis loves Ed Carpenter. I mean, how can you not like the guy?
He's part of, like, I think Indy has adopted quite a few drivers.
Yes.
Like, I think we've also adopted Hinch.
Yes.
Who's Canadian, by
but,
the way.
But Ed is...
Ed is, like...
He Indy's is an son. Actual Indy native.
You can, I don't know why I'm doing hand gestures in the middle of a podcast.
Well, you know. I'm using hand gestures as well.
I'm an attorney. I talk with my hands. It happens.
So just we're talking with our hands a lot. You can't see it, but it's happening.
Yeah.
So Ed Carpenter doesn't ever swear, but he came out and he said, not today, Rossi.
Not today.
He beat that record. So Rossi held that record for all of 4 minutes.
Yep. Nice. That's an asterisk in a history book, basically.
Yeah, basically. Yep. And so Carpenter came out and everybody's losing their minds.
Yes.
I mean, just losing their shit. Because we love Ed, and we're like, Rossi just killed this record. And then Ed came out and said, not today, baby. What? Not today. And then Scott Dixon.
Oh, my God.
Dixon comes out. Oh, Molly just threw her pen because Dixon came out and smashed Ed's time.
Yes.
He came out, and he basically said, Daddy's home. And so Dixon won the poll.
And if you don't think the Daddy's home meme doesn't exist, well...
It does.
You're wrong.
It does, and it will be posted on Instagram forthwith.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But that's what I love about Fast 9.
I do too.
I think they just go balls to the wall.
They do. They absolutely do.
You have to at that point. You got to get that pull.
Absolutely.
You got to get that pull.
Well, and last year, Michaela Lotion, they were about to call qualifying for the day, and he went out and did another run, and he got out just before they sounded the buzzer.
Moment last year.
And I mean, and for anybody who follows IndyCar, you know, Lotion drives balls to the wall all the time. He seems fearless. None whatsoever. And so we live for those moments in racing where, you know, they go out and they push it just as hard as they can. So it's got to be exciting for them, because it sure as hell exciting for us, and we're just sitting in the stands. So we're looking forward to a great race weekend next weekend. For those of you in Indianapolis having any kind of party or get together with friends and family, don't forget to add it on to Porch Party Indy. That's something that was started last year with the 100th running, and they're still continuing it, which I enjoy. So make parties,
enjoy it,
enjoy them, enjoy the weekend. I know I've got a big weekend of getting the house together and swearing at all my friends and family to be here. It'll be worth it when it's done, but it's a lot of work on the front end. So
I mean, I'm off, except I got to do a little work on Thursday. Whatever.
Well, I'm off all week, so you enjoy that.
Thanks.
I'll just be day drinking and cleaning out the garage, and
I'll be super jealous.
Mowing the grass. So anyhow, so put your parties on Porch Party Indy. Have a safe weekend at the track, and we will talk to you after next weekend.
Yeah, don't forget, rate this podcast. You know, we'd like 5 stars. And subscribe. Apparently, when you find us on iTunes, you search for Fast Cars, Fast Girls. That's us, Abby. And you have to click on the subscribe button and rate us. If you like us, rate it. If you don't, send it on back.
Yep. If you like it, fine. If not, send it on back. And again, you are welcome to contact us on all forms of social media. Let us know what you like and what you don't like. This is a brand new podcast. We're going to be evolving and changing based on what the fans want. For the most part, some of it is just going to be what we want.
Yeah, and you know, we'll hear what you say, but whatever.
I mean, we'll take it in consideration.
Yeah, let's
take it under advisement.
Yeah. I would like to hit us up Twitter at @FastCarsIN317. So N317, spell out N. Instagram is Fast Cars Fast Girls. Tumblr, if you are on Tumblr, Fast Cars Fast Girls N317, because I can't make up my mind when I set these all up. You'll see some stuff on there. You know, you might see some notes from tapings if we're frisky. You can always email us, fastcars317@gmail.com.
So again, our email is fastcarsfastgirls317@gmail.com. You also are welcome to use the hashtag when you're talking about us, which is #FastCarsFastGirls. And yes, we understand the implications of that.
Yeah, we do, Mom. That. Thanks, Mom.
Yeah, we understand that, Teresa.
Thanks.
All right. Let's see. Please credit any of our stuff, memes, pictures, quotes. If you use it, you're welcome to, but please credit us. And as always.
Yes, always. Hey, Pippa Mann or Sarah Fisher, if you're listening, which, yeah, probably not, but maybe you are, we would so love to talk to you.
We'd love to talk to you.
Love, love, love. I promise. I will make these promises. I've checked it out. My mom will make top of the stove, or people call it no-bake cookies, and they're fantastic. My father, who makes a kick-ass margarita, has already agreed to make it if you guys come on our podcast.
And we can talk about anything you want. It doesn't even have to be racing.
Yeah, anything. If you're involved in a charity or whatnot, we will talk about that, because we're all about that, too. So
we are about that life. Giving back.
Yeah. So until next time, remember, guys, it's not speeding. It's qualifying.
You're damn right.